The OU will not certify birds as kosher based on the testimony of individuals that those birds are or were eaten in their communities. Rather, the OU will only certify those birds that have been eaten as kosher in the United States for generations. To which Rav Belsky adds, after a lengthy investigation, and there's absolutely not one single shaila that this bird is one of the Eifos Tahoros, then we could be moderate. Ubelvad achre shakla v'tari imposkim v'gufma mekubolam al rov Yisrael. And also dependent on the fact that we have to investigate that this is a Mesorah that is acceptable on most of Klal Yisrael. So to the extent that we will be able today to lessen the inherent tension between preserving individual Mesorahs, which are on the way to extinction on the one hand, and preserving the integrity of the Kashrus of Klal Yisrael on the other hand, this is today's great challenge, in my own personal opinion. And if we accomplish it, it will be one of today's great successes. May we be zocha to the last sentence of Rabbi Ganak's letter, which you could find at the beginning of the source book, which was written as an introduction to this source book, and he wrote it on Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parsha Shmini. And I quote, may we merit that Hashem bless our efforts to preserve the true Mesorah of kosher birds and animals in Klal Yisrael. Erev Shabbos Kodesh, to the last pasuk of Parsha Shmini, L'seder, L'havdil, U'bein Achaya HaNecheles, U'bein Achaya Asher Loisei Ochel Shnas Tovshin Samach Dalet, signed Rabbi Menachem Ganak. At this time, I would like to call a little change in our program. I'd like to call on Rabbi David Cohn, who is the Safra Dedaina of the Beis Din at the OU, which is comprised of Rabbi Ganak and Rabbi Hershel Schachter and Rabbi Yisrael Belsky. And he will be speaking on the how OU policy is established, and he will be focusing specifically on the kashrus of turkey, which, by the way, is one of the box lunch sandwiches if you've ordered in advance.
Actually, somebody asked me over Shabbos if that's what I ordered for lunch. In fact, I did. Okay, good morning. I'm going to speak for a couple of minutes about how it came to be that turkey is accepted as a kosher bird. Before I begin, I have to thank Rabbi Zivotofsky, who's sitting here, for his encompassing and completely comprehensive article on that topic, on the topic of turkey, and also to Dr. Zohar Amar, who wrote something in his book in Hebrew, continued on the topic of turkey. Much of what I'm going to speak is based on their research, and Rabbi Zivotofsky's article on turkey is in fact in the handbook. As an introduction to the question, the Torah lists 24 birds that are not kosher by name. Without any way of telling us how to identify those 24 birds, Chazal in the Gemara told us that there are four simonim for a kosher bird, of which one of them is most important, and that is that the animal should not be a dyrus, which is loosely translated as being a predator. And if a bird is a dyrus, it's a symbol that it's not kosher, and that's the most important of the reasons to prove whether a bird is kosher or not. According to the Gemara, a person could either eat birds, either because they had a Kabbalah, they had a Mesorah, that this bird is in fact kosher, it's not one of those 24 birds, or they could eat it because they would check the simonim. If they checked the different simonim for the bird, they would know it's a kosher bird. In that regard, if we looked at a turkey has the simonim that the Gemara describes. The three simple simonim are in fact there. A side simon of the shape of its eggs is also there. And as far as it being a dyrus, it appears to not be a dyrus. But that last point, that it appears to not be a dyrus, is in fact the discussion of the Gemara. The Gemara says about a bird called the Tarngolta, the Agma. And this bird, for years, was assumed to be kosher. It was assumed to not be a dyrus. But then, after time, they discovered that, in fact, it was a dervish. So, of course, this shook people up to see that this bird that they had always assumed was kosher was, in fact, a dervish. And they, as a result, Rashi brings down over there, it's in the Issa V'Hetta later, that we don't eat a bird unless it has a Masera. In Din, one could eat it just by checking the simonim, check that it doesn't have a simon of being treif. But in practice, we only eat birds with a Masera because of this concern that we won't be familiar enough to know whether the bird is a dervish. It's not as straightforward whether a bird is a dervish. The Mechaber, to a great extent, accepts this, but leaves room open to accepting certain birds, even without a Masera, if we could be very certain that it's a kosher bird. And the Rama, so to speak, closes the door and takes this sheet of the Issa V'Hetter completely, and he says, we don't eat any birds unless they have a Masera. And of course, that brings us to our question. Turkey is a New World bird. It's a bird that was discovered in South America and was brought back to the Old World. So of course, there's no Masera that a turkey is kosher because no Yid had eaten it until then, and Moshe Rabbeinu, to our knowledge, never saw a turkey. So if we only eat birds based on a Masera, how in the world do we eat this bird turkey that we know does not have a Masera? In fact, there were poiskim that did say that turkey was treif. There were occasional poiskim, one who possibly was talking about turkey, or Shlomo Kluger, who said it was treif. Throughout the Doros, there were individual rabbonim who didn't eat it. The most famous in recent times of Yaakov Kamenetsky is reported to not eat it. But those people were all yotze min haklal. That was by no means the rule. In fact, the tshuvas that talk about turkey all start off as follows. There's this bird that we all eat it, and everybody assumes that this bird is kosher, but it doesn't have a Masera. So how in the world do we eat this? Then follows a lengthy discussion of reasons why we should or should not accept it, all kinds of reasons, which we're going to talk about in a minute. And the conclusion is, and therefore, we should continue eating this bird. And that's the general outlook of all the tshuvas that talk about it. And that's, in fact, has been the accepted practice. That basically, yes, there were always individuals who did not eat it, but the general consensus was that people ate it. They considered it to be considered to be kosher. In fact, Dr. Amar brings two passing references. The Supreme Magadim in Hilchos Treifos, in describing the Tzumas Hagidin, a certain kind of treifos, he talks about turkey as if that's just like a regular bird that he has to talk about. This is the Tzumas Hagidin for that bird. And the Noid Behuda has a shayla about what happens. Some birds will cook together, and they found out later that one was a treifa, so it had a shayla about a taruvus mixed together, and one of the birds in that soup was turkey, but it was like as if that was like an assumed to be kosher bird. So we have a question. Why do we eat this bird? We know that it doesn't have a Masera. And to strengthen the question is that the tshuvas about turkey as to whether it is or is not kosher are, to a great extent, from the late 1800s and the 20th century, and followed a serious discussion about other birds that had come up in those days. But in fact, these birds had been eaten for hundreds of years before that in Europe. So we have a second question. Where were all the shilas until then? How come there was no shila until, the middle of the 19th century, do we first start seeing questions about whether turkey is kosher? Why were people eating until then? Hopefully, we'll get to answer these questions, or at least present what Poiskim had mentioned about. And the answers to this question will be in three different groups. The first group is, some Poiskim said, the answer is, because you really don't need a Masera. Some said, the minhag to eat turkey, which started in the late 1500s, maybe early 1600s in Europe, was before the Rama. The Rama brought this minhag, but they were already eating it beforehand, which of course is hard to accept because the Rama didn't make up the minhag. The Rama didn't make up the minhag and people started accepting it. The Rama is reporting an Issa V'Hetter, which is based on a Rashi that people have been doing for doros. And others said from a different angle, that fakir, the fact that we eat turkey is a raya that we don't passing like the Rama, which the Achronim, of course, strongly disagree with. We always passing like the Rama. Everybody knows in this din, we also continue passing like the Rama. So this suggestion that we shouldn't need a Masera, that turkey is a raya that you don't need a Masera, is hard to accept. A different approach was that there's an indirect Masera on turkey. And it goes as follows. The Gemara explains that if a person had a Rebbe who was a hunter, who knows, who's familiar with birds, and knew all 24 treif birds, then if they catch some kind of bird in the street and they know it's not one of those 24 birds, they could eat it. Because they know the 24 treif ones, everything else is kosher, so they could eat it. Of course, giving the impression that there were, in fact, people who were able to do that. Well, none of them saw a turkey, so they must have known the 24 treif birds, and they obviously never saw a turkey, so they obviously, this was not one of those treif birds. And later in the day, I understand there's going to be a lineup here of different birds. So in the Beis Medrash in Pumpadis, so they had all 24 birds, and turkey wasn't there, so it must have been not a treif bird. The question is, the Gemara also says that when a bird, an aznia, a perez, is treif, a treif of bird doesn't mean just one specific bird. There are many species or subspecies of a bird that are included in that. So understanding what makes a bird, how to identify a treif bird includes being able to compare other birds to it and to know what's the same and what's not the same. So I don't know the 24 birds, but maybe if someone who knew the 24 birds and who also knew the science of comparing birds and understanding what's one species, when a turkey would have walked past him, he would have known, oh, there's the daya, that's the one, that's just like a daya, it's another variation of that. So the fact that they never saw it doesn't mean that if they would have seen it, they wouldn't have known which of the treif birds it's like. A riot to this question that I'm mentioning is, Rabbi Zivotofsky points out, there's three birds that he mentions, a peregrine falcon, a bald eagle, and an osprey, which are also New World birds, and those birds are very treif. The Gemara gives simanim to know a bird is treif, and those birds are definitely treif. So you can't say that there were no treif birds that are only New World birds, because we know there are treif ones. So the answer back to that is that no, those birds are similar enough to their Old World cousins that someone in the times of Chazal would have seen it, would have known that this is in the species of those treif birds. But turkey is such a quintessential example of a New World bird. It's an example of a bird that's so radically different from everything else that there's nothing it could have been possibly compared to. So the poskim who saw it for hundreds of years knew that it was kosher, because it can't be that this is a treif bird. This couldn't have been one of those 24. But the weakness with this is that we're making, whoever, to suggest this is making an assumption that you know all of the birds in the world. You're so familiar with the birds that you can say this turkey is radically different than anything else. Now, I'm obviously not that, and I don't know anybody else who's able to do that, but it's making an assumption that not only is it true, but that the poskim through all generations until the late 1800s also knew that. They're able to look at this bird and say it's so obviously different that it can't be kosher, that it can't be one of the treif birds. I'm not so familiar with all the birds, but just Friday, somebody mentioned to me, he said he had a reason, he thinks that turkey is kosher because it's very similar to a bird called a great bustard. Okay, now, I looked at the great bustard. I don't see the great dimion to the great bustard, but okay. But I'm saying is I never heard of a great bustard, and this person didn't. He thinks it looks like a turkey. So, I mean, who knows how many thousands of other birds, maybe Rabbi Slifkin can tell us all the thousands of birds that are out there, and which is it really so strange? So this whole approach is taking an assumption that it's so obviously different that it can't be that it's kosher, can't be that it's treif. Okay. The third, and maybe the most interesting, is the group of poskim who try to say, in fact, there is a masara in a turkey, which of course is hard to understand, but that's what they want to say. The first group says, they saw this bird, they said, nah, it's just a big chicken. It's the same thing, it's just a chicken. Or like what I just mentioned, it's this bustard, or some other bird. And as they looked at the turkey, and they knew it was kosher because they could see that it was just like another bird that they knew was kosher. If you in the source book, in the Tshuva that Rabbi Grossman mentioned beforehand, it shows how the Dr. Tshuva has many shailas brought up about comparing birds, deciding what's like something, what's not like something, and that idea to say that a bird is kosher because it's like something else is very difficult to apply. And as Rabbi Zivotofsky says, it's very open to abuse. You know, you can compare anything. I mean, if you read enough of the Dr. Tshuvas, you could literally make anything kosher. There's so many choices of what makes something the same. Then there are those who have suggested that turkey breeds with other kosher birds. Since it breeds with kosher birds, it's a raya that it's kosher. It's based on the Gemara and Bukhairis talking about animals. That animals, treif and kosher animals, don't breed together. The weaknesses with this argument are that, first of all, there's a machlokes in the poskim whether that Gemara applies to birds at all. Even if it does apply to birds, many studies have tried to breed turkey and chicken and turkey with other birds unsuccessfully, by and large unsuccessfully. And even where it was successful, it was, as a rule, it was through artificial insemination, and it's not clear that the Gemara's rule applies even to such cases. Additionally, there's an etziv, an interesting etziv, that says that the fact that we've eaten it for so many dairies gives us a pseudo messiah on it, and now the people who want to make a treif, they're on the defense. They have to prove that the bird is treif. We've created a messiah, so to speak, whatever that means. And then an original svara, which is when the explorers came to the United States and they found this turkey, to South America and even to North America, and they found this turkey, there were people living in the United States, people living in America. Those people were remnants of the Aseres HaShvatim, who had a Masoret back from Moshe Rabbeinu that it was kosher, so they got it from them. By far, the most original svar. And then, lastly, what is true is turkey was brought back from the New World to the Old World, and from there it spread throughout Europe. One of the ways that it spread was through the Ottoman Empire, which is based in Turkey, and in fact that's why we call this bird turkey, because people for a long time believed that it was a Turkish bird. That's where it came from. Other people thought that it came from India, and like in Hebrew we call it the Tarnagol Hoidu, we call it an Indian bird. Other people call it that. The Kafachayim says that's what it's called. And people got a Masorah from those communities that gave them the bird. That is to say, someone in Poland got these birds from people in Turkey, or got it from people in India. And he turned to these people and he said, to all the Indians, he says, is this a kosher bird? And they said, yeah, by us we eat it. So the Masorah came from the people in Turkey and India. Okay, well, where did the people in Turkey and India get their Masorah from? And with that, in fact, we expect Rabbi Schechter will discuss this topic, which is as follows. As I mentioned, the Mechaber says that in certain cases we can eat a bird without a Masorah. It's the Ramah who says that we only eat a bird if it has a Masorah. The Mechaber leaves the door open to certain cases eating a bird without a Masorah. Turkey and India, which, to my understanding, are by and large Sephardic communities, held like the Mechaber, and they may have accepted the bird without what we would consider a Masorah. They had other ways to decide the bird was kosher. They took that bird. Yidden in Ashkenazic communities got the bird from them, and these people told them, yeah, the bird has a Masorah. So maybe the most plausible is that, in fact, they got it from these people. Those people told them it was kosher, and they continued eating it. They had a Masorah from those other Yidden. So that's a topic that Rabbi Schechter will be addressing as to, is it proper, or when is it proper to take a Masorah from a different community? And if in fact this is true, then we sitting here, or the Ashkenazim sitting here, who know their Masorah comes in effect from a Sephardic source, in a source that started off with, we know, not a Masorah, so we would have to question then whether that Masorah would be acceptable for us. To summarize, we had a question as to how could it be, we only eat birds that have a Masorah. This bird clearly does not have a Masorah. Some argue that it doesn't need a Masorah. Birds don't need a Masorah altogether. They argued on the Ramah. Some said there's an indirect Masorah because it couldn't have been one of the treif birds. And lastly, there were different ideas as to how we could possibly have a Masorah for this bird. Each of these reasons have different questions, factual or halacha questions on them. And the only nechama we have is, the Gemara says that afilu behemten shel tzaddikim, even the animals of tzaddikim, the Rabbanu Shlom doesn't let them eat treif. And through these hundreds of years, many tzaddikim themselves have eaten turkey. So we could take nechama that the Rabbanu Shlom wouldn't have let them be nichshol in it. Thank you. Have a good day.